So Jim and I just got back yesterday afternoon from a trip to the mountains. We didn't go far. We just went up to Cherry Lock and with day trips to Blue Ridge and to LJ. You know, y'all have probably done the same thing. And we did things that you do. We went shopping for stuff that you don't need. You see it and you go, oh my gosh, isn't that the cutest thing you've ever seen? And hold it up to the person that you're with. And you think, I think that's just darling. I think I'm going to, I need to take that home with me. We were better at it this year than we have been before. We spent it eating fried apple pies at Panorama and Mercier's and buying at least a few apples. I bought Lonsap this year because you don't see those in the grocery store. It's all going to be something different because you can get just about the same thing there, here. And so I thought I'd try something different. We spent the time enjoying the colors of the mountain, doing a little walking. We were up on the hill, and the hill was so steep, you could only go so far before you knew you had, because you were going downhill, because you knew what happened after you went downhill. It turned out to come up. But we did it, and we weren't brave enough. A lot of people are brave enough to get in the hot tub, you know, after all the lights are out. It's cold. It was a good trip. But the most important thing that we did was being with our friends. We go with these two couples every year. We've probably been about six or seven times together. And we just spend it just living together, you know, just listening to each other and eating and talking and praying together and just enjoying being together for just a little bit. These were church members. They were my parishioners when I was pastor at Pine Mountain. Bobby and Harold and Lamar and Carol. But I learned a lot more from them while I was there than they ever learned from me, I am sure. So I'm so glad that we're able to continue our friendship. You know, we caught up with each other's families, and we talked about people we knew in common that were still there in Pine Mountain. How's so-and-so doing? What's so-and-so up to? You know, y'all do the same kind of thing, don't you? When you get with people who were a part of your life at a different time, and you revisit them, and you get caught up with everything that's going on. And when we do that, it's interesting. It's like, where am I? You know, it's like you're living in the present, but also you step back into the past, and you're remembering everything that was there as well. And I know that I am reminded when that happens that God's timing is so different from our time. Let me explain by what I mean by that. Even though time passes, which it does, doesn't it? It's not going to stop for nobody. And we move away from each other, and the wrinkles come, and the walking and the climbing the stairs and crawling into the very back of the van, in the back seat, it gets to be more and more of a challenge. Even though we change, the church never changes. You know, those relationships that we have with one another, no, they never change. Our bodies may change, but the church does not. The church lives in the past and the present and the future. And we are united together so deeply in all those times that nothing can tear us apart. I mean, just think of all the things that y'all did here in this church in the past. I've seen some of the photographs. I think Bob has a photograph album that he let me look at. All kind of fun stuff going on here. Talent shows and worship and singings outside and people, children, families. You remember those times in this church? They were good times. Now, most of those people are not here any longer. For one reason or another, they have moved on. But have they really? Have they really moved on? I mean, can't you just close your eyes? Do this for me. Just close your eyes and see if you were a part of this church or the part of the church that you were a part of 20 years ago or 30 or 40 years ago. Just see someone that you remember so well that was so important to you. And listen for their voice and picture what they might be doing. Aren't they still here? Right here in our midst. Even though they may have gone, they're here. If we just stop and listen and remember. And the way the church works is that one part is just as important as the other part. I've said before that the church is like an hourglass where the sand falls up instead of falling down. You know, we are right in the middle. We are that little part where the sand goes through. But the church triumphant, which is at the top, those who have moved on are just as much a part of the church as we are, and those who have not come yet are at the bottom and waiting to move up. They are just as much a part of the church as we all are together. And when we gather here and we kneel together at this altar, even though we can't see them physically, we are kneeling with them all far and wide. I know I've said that a lot of times, but there's just something comforting to me about that. I love thinking about the church in that way. We are friends together. So we're going to have a chance to remember some of the saints of the church today. Saints who have made it to that place of seeing Christ face to face. I'll give you the opportunity to call out their names. You can be thinking about that as we prepare for our time of communion together. Those who have made it. We, on the other hand, have not. We're still here. We are all walking together, but we are not there yet. In our scripture today that Sherry read, Jesus is gathering with his friends at the mount. He's gathering with the church, mainly the Jewish people, but there were Gentiles there as well. And Jesus has come to the mountain. He's come Moses-like. And like Moses, he has something of great importance to share with God's people. I mean, they were already beginning to hear the stories of how Jesus came to be, the rumblings of what happened were being passed around. One said, I heard that this man was born of a virgin. How could that be? And another one said, yeah, I heard that the angels actually came and they announced his coming. They flew down and announced his birth with their harps and their voices. Another person said, Herod was so threatened by this Jesus that he had all the little boy babies killed just so he could try to get rid of him before he grew up and caused trouble. And another said, John Baptist, do you remember? John Baptist was his number one fan. So, y'all, as Jesus climbed up that mountain, in Matthew, it's the mountain, it's the plain, in Luke, but in Matthew, he climbs the mountain, and as he turned around and he lifted his arms in the air, people were just, they were filled with this anticipation, and they were expecting power. They were expecting power to come out of his mouth. This man was something they had never seen. He was different. He knew things. He knew the truth. He knew the way that they were supposed to go. They were expecting authority, right? They were expecting the answer to their human condition of fear and lack. And they were expecting it to come with big old bolts of thunder. I guess they were expecting dynamite. That's what they were expecting. So were they here? Love. Love. That's how Jesus decides to pull the church together from the very, very first. He did not choose to pull us together with swords and strength. He didn't choose to pull us together with a bunch of demands and rules. Instead, he pulled us together with love. Hadn't changed. It's still exactly the same. And he says pretty much this: when you love, you can't go wrong. Don't worry about it. You can't go wrong. When you love, you're on the right road. When you walk in humility, and that means when you are poor in spirit, you're on the right road to the kingdom of heaven. When you allow yourself to mourn in your loss, as we are doing this day, you're on the right road to being comforted. When you live your life with patience and without any kind of resentment, when you are meek, then you're on the right road to inheriting the good things of the earth. When you are kind to others, when you put others ahead of you, you're on the right road to seeing God. It's that simple. You're on the right road. But you ain't there yet. It takes a lifetime. It takes a lifetime to get to the end of the road. It takes a lifetime to get to Jesus, to see him face to face. It takes a lifetime of growing. A lifetime of living and learning, falling down and getting up again. We've not done that time after time after time. It takes a lifetime of living into the kingdom, a lifetime of loving. And the thing that Jesus reminds us is that we're all in it together. We're never, never alone. On this All Saints Sunday, Jesus, sitting on that mountain, reminds us that everything keeps on moving. Everything keeps on changing. Nothing stays the same. Keeps on transforming and growing. And when we live slow, thoughtful lives, practicing love, practicing mourning and mercy and peace and purity and all the rest day by day until we get it right, then eventually we will love ourselves into the kingdom. What a wonderful journey. But to do that, we have to change. There's no way around it. We have to let ourselves grow. We have to allow ourselves to become mature. And it's good when we do that. Now, everything changes. Even the mountains, I was standing there looking, I guess it was Cherry Log Mountain that I was looking at. It was the one from the deck of the house that we stay in. And I was looking at that mountain this last week, and it sure looked pretty unchangeable to me, you know. You look at it, and you think, well, it's been that way forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. But really, mountains do change. Mountains do it. I mean, there are earthquakes under the ground and erosion above the ground. There are fallen trees that make a difference and dried up streams and floods and creek beds snaking in ever new directions. And there are deer and squirrel and Bigfoot making new paths every day. So mountains do change. Maybe we can't see it with our physical eye, but they do. And so says Jesus to we. We must change if we want to seek and find the kingdom of God. So how does it happen? Is it hard? Is it hurt to change? Because we're so set in our ways, aren't we? We're so set. I'm not going to change it to that. It happens little by little by little. It happens day by day. And usually we don't even know what's happening. That's the beauty of it. Our friend Lamar, who was there on the trip with us, shared these things in his life that helped him grow in love. He started out with something so basic and so fundamental. He said, the love of my mother. The love of my mother. From the time I was born, I knew that she was there, and I knew that she loved me with every ounce of her being, and any need I had that she was going to fill. And then he said his grandmother's hands that his grandmother, he remembered her stroking his hand with her hands and looking at it and telling him how special he was and how very, very much she loved him. And then he talked about a friend in college who kept him in line and wasn't afraid to tell him the truth and tell him he shouldn't ought to do what he was about to do. He was brave enough to be honest with him when the law was about to do something he shouldn't have. Those were all pictures of God's character, right? The God who will never leave us, who answers every need that we have, the God who loves us so deeply, but who also requires us to stay in the boundaries of what God has planned for us. And he shared that changes also happen through spiritual experiences, like at a church camp or a particular place in your life where you feel so very close to God, as if God is as close as your very own breath. And they said we change through our teachers, some of them. A good teacher is one who pushes you, encourages you, but also lets you know how proud he or she is of you when you have done your best. A teacher can make all the difference from the words from their mouth to a child. And he shared lots of stories, but one of the other was a doctor that he had. He had struggled with several bouts of cancer in his life, and he said that he remembered there was one time when that diagnosis had just been given to him by the doctor. They were sitting there in the office. And he said that that doctor told him what was happening with his body. And then he came around the desk and he took his hands. He took Lamar's hands and he said, "Don't worry. God is going to take care of you, Lamar." And he did. We make such a difference in people's lives. We change through other people. We grow with the help of others. People who trusted us, people who believed in us. We change through all the saints who come into and out of our lives. You close your eyes and you see them. Saints gathered in your heart. Even now, when they're gone from the earth, they come into our thoughts. Every day, I don't think a day passes that I don't hear my mother say, "Dr. Charles, I love you." "I know it's hard," she says, "just keep on going. Just keep on going." And as our conversation around the fireplace the other night, Cherry Lott continued, somebody else said, "I've come to this point in my life when I've discovered that God is calling me to somehow, in some way, connect in a positive way with another person every day." He said, "I never know how it's going to happen. I don't know where it's going to be or when it's going to be. It could be at the post office. It could be at the grocery store. It could be on the sidewalk. It could be through text or an email." He said, I just need to connect in a positive way with at least one other person. And he said, "I think that's what Jesus was telling us when he climbed that mountain. He was telling us to love our neighbor." And really, that's about all we can do, isn't it? Y'all got the answer to saving the world? We don't. All we can do is love our neighbor. We don't know all the answers. Even Paul didn't know all the answers. What does the scripture say? "We see through a glass darkly." He didn't know. He didn't try to know. But just loving one person a day by reminding them that they are good and that they are loved is powerful. It's full of dynamite. Because not only does love allow us a glimpse of the kingdom in our lives right now, but it also adds to a future hope that we shall all see the kingdom of God clearly one day. So while we wait, while we know we ain't there yet, we come to this table. We come as the receivers and the givers of gifts. Both. It's a constant connection Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We come as people who built our house on the rock, not on the sand. We come remembering the saints that have gone before, anticipating the saints who will come later, and embracing with deep love the saints who are here today. We're on the road together, y'all. We're stuck with each other. We're at the mountain together. And we may not know all the answers, but we sure do know who does, don't we? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And may it be so. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. I want you to take the insert that's in your bulletin, Sacrament of Hope. What a convenient time to be able to walk. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right. And a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. God of Abraham and Sarah, God of Miriam and Moses, God of Joshua and Deborah, God of Ruth and David, God of the priests and the prophets, God of Mary and Joseph, God of the apostles and the martyrs, God of our mothers and our fathers, God of our children and to all generations. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism and the suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which I have given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice. In union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ is alive. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with all your saints, especially those whom we name before you and whom we hold in our hearts. God, we remember those saints who have gone before us. We lament their passing and honor their legacy. We give thanks for all we have learned from them. Those who follow the way of Christ faithfully, we follow their example. Those who made mistakes along the way, we learn from their experience. Those who made progress for peace, we continue their work. Those who live simply and quietly, we are enlightened by them. Those who gained honor and distinction without pride, we are humbled by them. Those who were martyred for their faith, we commend them to your care. They have finished their work on earth, and it lives on, reverberating into our lives now as the work of Christ lives on. Renew our communion with all your saints. especially those whom we now name before you. And so I invite you, any name that is on your heart, I invite you to simply call that name.
The love of my heart.
Nolan Harms.
Lane Hanson.
Jim Hearn.
Sharon Gladstone. David Henkel. B. Schreiber.
Tracy Baldwin.
Mildred Smith.
Harold and Simone.
Lauren Holland. Gerald Rhodes.
Martha and Ed.
Ben Skipper.
Stephen, Jonathan, Adam, and Tom.
Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, strengthen us to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, pioneer and perfecter of our faith. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen. Thank you.